Great to have your company on this Tuesday edition of Racing Pulse. Well, on Saturday, it's the Group 1 running of the Maccabi Diva Stakes. Now, before it was renamed the Maccabi Diva, it was known as the Craigley. And back in 2002, it was won by one of racing's champions. It was only a Group 2 back then, but it was a Group 1 superstar who won it, and it was Northerly. We're going to relive that spring carnival of 2002, which was just remarkable, with the champion's trainer, a legend himself, Fred Kersley, who joins us this morning. Fred, so good to chat to you. How are you going?
Very well, thank you, and nice to talk to you.
Well, what are your memories of that spring in 2002, and especially leading into the Craigley, as it was known back then, with the Fighting Tiger Northerly, because he come off a couple of defeats, including finishing fourth in the Memsie and fifth at Belmont. By that stage, he was already a star of Australian racing. But how did you think he was going into that Craigley?
Oh, it's taken me back to, it's nearly 20 years now, isn't it? I don't remember those two races all that well, so make no excuses. But, you know, he had a pretty good strike rate. And he's probably a horse he raced on his heart, and his staying was his forte, and he probably needed a couple of runs to sort of bring him to his top. But he did a great job and those great times.
Oh, absolutely. And you speak of his heart, and it was one of his great heartfelt victories in that edition of the Craigley, and a great call from Greg Miles as well. Let's have a listen to the closing stages of the 2002 Craigley in Northerly.
Drew a neck in front. The Fighting Tigers coming clear the last little bit, and Northerly tested but wins. Beats La Zagaleta. Silver Baron got up for third.
He was tested all right. He looked like he was gone. If you didn't know it was Northerly, you wouldn't have wanted to be on him. What were your thoughts halfway up the straight in the Craigley, Fred?
I always had confidence that he'd hit the line strong. They never won by great margin. Well, a couple of races he did, of course, but, you know, the Fighting Tiger, he's aptly named. You never lost hope with him, even though he was struggling sometimes half a mile out. You just knew he would keep coming, and he always finished his races great. And I remember some great tussles he had with Sunline in particular, but also Fields of Omar. Now, those two were great horses in those days, and I feel as though Sunline probably would have run one a third Cox Plate had not Northerly taken the field up to her quite away from home. So, you know, I have great admiration for those two horses as well as Northerly, and often ask myself the question, now that's sort of 20 years ago now, but are the horses today any better than those horses were in those days? I got a feeling they're not much better, if they're any better at all.
Well, there's a debate at the moment. I don't know whether they're anywhere near as good. We certainly don't seem to have the depth of our weight for age stars as we used to back then, do we, Fred?
I don't think so. I mean, you ask yourself the question. I know one thing, we pay a lot more money for them than we did in the early days. But, you know, and stake money, of course, is on the rise, and that's good for racing. But, you know, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, I don't know that the horses would be better. The odd ones come along, and you know, they're good horses. Don't get me wrong, but is the competition collectively any better? I'm not sure.
And it was an intriguing spring as well, because you mentioned Sunline, and there was the great question mark with Greg Childs, who had such a remarkable record on Northerly, but he had the love affair with Sunline, and when it came to the two of them, he had to make a choice between the two, and he partnered at Northerly through that remarkable spring. But when we got to the Cox Plate, he had to choose Sunline. Was there a chance that he wasn't going to get back on Northerly before that Craigley? Because Damien Oliver had a good association with Northerly as well.
Yeah, look, it's just a bit of a story. Damien was always the preferred rider when we left Western Australia to go to Victoria. But Damien took a ride on Oval Office and chose not to ride Northerly first up in Melbourne. So I got a call from Greg Charles, and he offered to ride the horses throughout his campaigns in Melbourne. But there was one condition. He said, if it ever runs against Sunline, I'm obliged to ride Sunline, which he did. And that was a good understanding, and we understood that. I doubt that Greg ever got beat on Morley, so he had a wonderful record on the horse. And, you know, we had a good relationship at that time and, you know, a lot of success, obviously. But, you know, I think Greg rode him very, very well.
Well, that spring carnival was a spring to never forget. After he won the Craigley, he went to the Underwood. He won that easily. Well, easily for Northerly. He beat Magical Miss. He then went to the Turnbull. He beat Dash for Cash. And then you lined up in the Caulfield Cup with 58 kilos on your back. And here are the closing stages.
Fields of Omar's coming down the outside. And then came Republic Lass. Northerly in front with 100 metres to go. Fields of Omar, Republic Lass are closing. Northerly in front. Fields of Omar tries hard. Northerly. Northerly. Northerly beats Fields of Omar in a photo in a grand Caulfield Cup. Republic Lass or Distinctly Secret might have got third.
Oh, it was a stunning Caulfield Cup with two warriors going toe-to-toe. And I know our good friend Adam Hamilton tells the story that he might have got an early whisper and got some good odds about Northerly going around in the Caulfield Cup, because was that, when was that the plan to actually decide to run in the Caulfield Cup that year?
You know, the Caulfield Cup was sort of really always on the agenda. I thought he deserved a crack at the Cup. And he was weighted at 58, which is the weight that he was carrying in all the weight for age races. So it really wasn't anything remarkable, other than he probably did it the wrong way around. And he went back into handicapped races after racing most of his career in weight for age. The thing about that race that still irks me a little bit is this first time he'd ever been over a mile and a half. And if you remember the race, Fields Omar was closing very quickly at the end of that mile and a half Caulfield Cup. And I think there was only a neck or so in the finish. And I was disappointed when the handicapper found a way of giving him an extra 2 kilos for the Melbourne Cup. And, you know, therefore I thought it was a bit too much of an ask. And it's quite a saying, like, he raced on his heart and I didn't want to break it. But now the question arises, could I have run him in the Melbourne Cup? Should I have run him in the Melbourne Cup? But the fact is I didn't. And, you know, how would he have gone carrying that burden of 60 kilos over the 2 miles? We will never know.
Is that almost a regret? Do you have that these days? Is that a question that you still think about?
Could have, would have, didn't. Don't know. I'd reckon he'd had enough. He'd had a hard campaign, and I was just quoted as saying, look, he races on his heart, I don't want to break it. And, you know, it would have been lovely if he could have got up and won the race, but what if he broke down in the run or raced disappointingly after a very hard campaign? So at the time, I was very satisfied with my decision. I wonder if he would have enhanced his greatness had he been able to run and win the Cup. But then again, it would have been disappointing if I'd busted his gut standing around again chasing a Melbourne Cup. And at that stage of the game, it would have been lovely, but it didn't happen.
Well, it would have been history-making, but he's a legend that won't be forgotten either, because after that Caulfield Cup, he did back up within 7 days to win the Cox Plate, and Patrick Payne was in the saddle.
Northerly going up to Sunline, they turn for home. The Great Western Australian, Northerly's got his head in front of Sunline. Two to Defier and then Grandeera. Northerly's clear at the 100 metre mark. Defier after Northerly. Northerly's going to do it back to back. Northerly takes the Cox Plate a length on the line. Defier, a neck away third. Grandeera, Sunline, magnificent fourth.
Yeah, that was the farewell for Sunline, and it was the heralding of the king, who was already a superstar, but he became a legend going back-to-back in the Cox Plate that day. Was it easy to get him back from the Caulfield Cup and to peak on Cox Plate Day 7 days later?
Oh, look, he really did it all himself. He was just a great warrior, you know. He was a racehorse of, you know, the highest standard, and his grit and determination, his ability to outlast most other horses when seemingly in the run, you would have thought he really may not get up, but he always found a way.
You had so many memorable wins with him. Is there one that stands out?
Well, strangely enough, it was the Culline Stakes when I first went to Melbourne, and I had doubts about how he would measure up. You never know, going from West Australia to take on the Victorian horses on their home ground is never easy. And, you know, he that day was exciting in as much as he, I think, not only won the race, but I think he set a track record, that, you know, a distance record anyhow for that day. Beaten at his next start, and then very good run to win the Australian Cup a short while after that. So, I mean, he just did what you had some questions about. Would he? How good was he? And he was probably better than I thought he was.
He won a Railway at just his sixth start. Were there a lot of offers early days? Could the story have been so much different in regards to Northerly?
Yes, it certainly could have been. I mean, probably we did it upside down, you know, taking on a Group 1 race at his sixth start. It really did, you know, from his career point of view, that was the end of him in the handicap races. So that's why he raced at the higher level from there on. When the first got to Victoria, there was an offer to buy him for $500,000. There was some consideration given to that, but thank goodness we didn't take that offer and kept him in the business of the family business. And he went on to bank $9 million, as I recall.
Yeah, $9 million and 9 Group Ones. A remarkable career. And what was his personality like? He was known as a fighting tiger and would never give up in a race. What was he like around the stables?
Yeah, just a wonderful horse. He just was a friendly sort of a horse. He'd fire up a little bit on race day. He'd actually get nervous before the races and settle down. The longer he's at the track, the more relaxed he became. When he went into races, the comment was often made that he didn't travel well during the run. But when it came to the tough part of the race and the going got tough, the tougher he got and the better he went. He had an amazing ability to outlast most other horses. And in running, sometimes you'd think he'd be struggling and he may not get there. The further they went, the better he got.
You've had such an amazing career, Fred, and in dual codes as a legend of the harness racing game as well. Is Northerly the best horse you've had anything to do with? How does he relate to all the horses you've had through your career?
I've got to say he's the best, you know, all-rounder. He's just been an amazing horse. So I was fortunate enough to have a lot of good paces in the early days and a fair bit of success in Western Australia, but also took some nice horses across to the eastern states. One thing, I'm still a great admirer of the harness horse because they improved their times dramatically over my lifetime. Horses struggle to run 2 minutes. Now they're running down into the high 1:40 for the mile ratings. And so they made massive improvement and continue to improve, whereas I think the thoroughbreds are a bit stuck in a way. I'm not sure that they go any quicker than they did early days.
Why do you think that is, Fred? Is that because it's hard for the horses, the thoroughbreds, to actually physically run any faster, or is it the training methods? Why do you think there's such a disparity in the improvements the animals have made?
Probably you could argue that the harness horses started off a lower base. Like, the criteria to become a standard in the very, very early days was to be registered in the stud book. You had to be able to trot or pace a mile in 2 minutes 30 seconds. Now, they've improved that time by something like 40 seconds in that period of time. So your low base of starting off, you know, to become registered as a standard bred, but now we have the elite stallions and I think artificial insemination, where we can get the best blood in the world for the modern day broodmares, and you know, it's reflected in the ability of these horses that can just go really, really quick, and they're getting down somewhere near racehorse time. Like, they can run 26 to the furlong, where, you know, that'll win some galloping races in some races. But, you know, no doubt the elite thoroughbreds are a little quicker, but not as much as there was in the early days.
What's easier to train, Fred, a thoroughbred or a standard bred?
I think the standard bred's a stronger breed of horse, more durable. They can back up. If they take the Dominions, they'll run three races in 8 days and back up for more. So, you know, through the Intermediate Carnival, they'll have four races in 2 weeks and back up again at the end of it. And, you know, the number of starts they have, having 100 starts with standard breds, not uncommon. I start to worry about thoroughbreds when they've had about 23 starts, and I think the great horses. There are some that race longer, harder, but you know, by and large, they're a lot more fragile than a standard bred horse.
With the legend Fred Kersley reliving some of his great wins with Northerly, and Fred, life for you now. You're still training.
Yes, I'm upstairs at Ascot at the moment watching a few of them go round. Beautiful day here in Perth, lovely sunshine and whatever, but it's been a rotten winter, I can tell you. It's been cold and wet. But right now we've got a sunny day and life's pretty good.
How old are you now, Fred?
Well, I'm nearly 80.
Gee, and it just keeps you young? You've got the love and passion for the sport that you'll never hang it up?
Well, I'm not much good at anything else, so I might as well do this.
you're following the races over here in the east as well. If there's one horse in Australia right now heading into the Spring Carnival, who would you love to train?
You got me on that one. I haven't followed as closely as I may have done. I follow young Fred. I'm enjoying his career in Victoria. Mm. Watch all of his races and enjoy that very much. But as for naming the best of them, I mean, clearly they come and they go. And, you know, I wouldn't like to pick the top one right now.
Well, you just followed the Kersley name throughout the Spring Carnival. Hopefully Fred has another great one. Such a pleasure to catch up with you, Fred, and hear that you're still going strong and enjoying it when you're on the cusp of 80 and reliving a horse that we'll never get to see the likes of again, the mighty Fighting Tiger Northerly.
And thanks very much to you guys for the interest. I appreciate it very much.